That is Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 14. The topic on today is, I choose joy.
All right.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I choose joy.
Amen.
Next today, the angel is speaking to the shepherds who are out in the field tending their sheep. The angel calms their fears because they were afraid at seeing the angel in God's glory. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw an angel in God's glory, I'd be scared too.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
That's just natural. It's natural for us as human beings to be afraid when we see something that we're not used to seeing. Now, as the angel continued to speak, he told these shepherds that he had good news that would bring them great joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only would the joy come to them, but it would be for everybody. The happy and exciting news that the angel delivered involved the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would come into the world for one purpose, and that is to redeem man from his sin. It was a most glorious pronouncement. It was the happiest of announcements the shepherds could have heard. Now, they did not understand the full implications of the pronouncement from the angel, but they knew something spectacular had just occurred. They knew something out of the ordinary had taken place. Why? Because there was an angel standing before them. But when the angel finished his message, the heavenly choir started singing. Praise God. That just had to be a great scene.
Yes, sir.
When the angel finished, then the choir broke out in a melodious song. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men is what the angels were singing. This was a great time for everybody and for the entire world to know that the Savior had come. Thank you, Jesus. This was a time for the God of the universe to show up. Thank you, Jesus. It was a time of great anticipation and joy. Therefore, I believe those same shepherds who were in the field would say to you today, I choose joy.
All right.
Yes. Now let me move over to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I think most of you know the story of Nehemiah. He was asked, or at least he did ask, and was granted permission to return to Jerusalem. And the reason why was his heart was heavy over the reports he had heard concerning the condition of his beloved Jerusalem. He wanted to do something. So he received the blessing of the king and also the king's financial assistance to rebuild the wall that was around Jerusalem for protection against their enemies. While the people were in captivity, you got to realize the folk there were in captivity. And while they were there, they did not have regular church service. When you're in a strange land, it's kind of hard to sing the Lord's song when you're in a strange land.
Yeah.
Not only that, they were trying to convert them over to their way of doing things. So the people lost all of the rituals that they were used to having. They lost the fact that the word from the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, they lost the fact that these words were written and they were read every single Sabbath day. They lost that. They were there for some 70 years. So once the wall was completed, Nehemiah and Ezra wanted to begin the normal practices that God demanded of his people. Amen. So Ezra was charged with reading the book of the law to the people. And as he read from God's word, and it was explained to them what he was reading, all the people began to cry. They began to weep because they knew that they had not been following God's commandments. Now, I don't know about you, I was touched and am always touched when I hear and see people being contrite when they hear the word of God.
Amen.
When they become sorry, knowing that they are not living up to the standards that God expects from them.
Yes.
And that's exactly where these people were. They were contrite. They were sorry for not being where God expected them to be. And contrition is a good thing. It's good because we can't go to the next level until we are remorseful for the sins that we have committed.
Amen.
But we cannot remain in a state of remorse.
That's right.
Amen.
You just cannot remain in a state of woe is me. I have not done what God wanted me to do.
Amen.
At some point, you've got to move from remorse to where God wants you to be.
Amen.
So Nehemiah told the people in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verses 9 and 10, this is what he said. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. He said, mourn not, nor weep. He said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For the day of the Lord is holy unto, or for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's all right.
All right.
Hallelujah. Just as the people of Judah had to realize they could not remain in a state of sorrowfulness, neither can we remain that way when facing life's major challenges.
Right,
man. We've got to find a way to move from sorrow to joy.
Yes.
Why is that so important? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. God's joy is our way forward. We grab onto the Lord's joy and begin to depend on him, then we can gain the strength that we need to move ahead.
Amen.
That's the idea. Because we all face challenges.
Yes.
We all go through stuff.
Yes.
Life has a way of throwing us what I call a... Some of you have never played ball or baseball, but let me explain to you a little bit about what I'm talking about. In baseball, the curveball is different from the fastball. Different pitches. A fastball will come at you straight and hard. That's why it's called a fastball. But it's a lot easier to hit a fastball than it is to hit a curveball. And let me explain to you why. Because when the curveball comes, it looks like a fastball. But at the last minute, the last second, it starts breaking and it breaks to the side and then down. So you are going to miss it.
Amen.
And sometimes you can look real silly when you swing at it. Glory to God. So what we teach young people, and sometimes older ones too, is to understand the rotation of the ball. You got to be able to look at how the ball is rotating out of the pitcher's hand. And that way you can recognize if he goes like this and the ball begins to spin like that, you know the curve is coming. And when you recognize that the curve is coming, you change the stride that you make as you go into the ball. Instead of striding quick, you hesitate just a little bit more. And the other thing you do is recognize the ball is going to come at you and then it's going to go just like that. So when you get to hit it, you want to hit it just when it starts to turn. You don't wait till after it turns to swing. You got to hit it just when it starts to turn. Now, you may think that I got some experience with that, and you would be exactly right. I do, because I have struck out quite a bit when I have swung at some curveballs. Just like learning how to hit a curveball, we need proper instruction. We also need instruction for how to handle life's unexpected problems. We're not just created to handle bad things when bad things happen to us. It just doesn't happen. So we need to learn. Sometimes we learn by trial and error. But I will say to you, that is not necessarily the best way to learn. Say, well, I got to go through myself in order for me to learn. But if you're willing to teach me, please teach me so I don't have to do it over and over and over. Teach me so that I can learn how to deal with life's problems. Well, let me give you an illustration. Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse number 28, he tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Sometimes God is in the middle of your problems.
Amen. That's all right.
Praise God.
That's part of the instruction. You got to understand that God sometimes is in the middle of your issues.
Amen.
Why? Because he may be trying to work something that's in you out of you.
Amen.
And let me give you an idea. If you go through the same thing over and over and over again, God is trying to tell you something.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
God is trying to tell you something.
Amen.
I remember my wife pointed out something to me. She said to me, why is it that you seem to have the same kind of boss? I always got the boss that was overbearing, wanted to lord over me and do things their way. And it was like, she said, why is it that you get the same kind of boss? And I had to understand it wasn't them. It was me. God was trying to get something out of me. Because I'm telling you, I didn't like it. If somebody, I didn't like people telling me what to do. I know what to do. Leave me alone and let me do my job. I did not like folk hovering over me.
Amen.
But God was trying to help me. Because one of my bosses told me, you got a lot of pride in you. And I'm thinking, what do you mean? All I do is try to do the best job I can. But he told me, you are as proud as you can be. And I had to understand that what he was saying was right. I was and always have been a very prideful person. So God used this man to humble me down.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. God is the one who is doing his best to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And if you're willing to let God, God will take you there. Amen. Glory to God. Zig Ziglar said this: your attitude will determine your altitude. In other words, how you view negativity can determine how you handle negativity. Now, after we have the right approach to our problems, then we have to learn how to cast all our cares upon Jesus.
Yes.
Because the Lord cares for us. In other words, we got to learn to recognize we can't handle everything by ourselves.
Amen.
Sometimes we got to just leave it over to Jesus and let Jesus work it out.
Amen.
That means then we got to let God help us. Mm-hmm. We can't be so independent to think that we don't need help. We sometimes need help.
Amen.
And we got to let God help us.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. The next thing that we've got to learn is how to be patient. We've got to learn that our patience is very similar to us saying that we believe and trust in God.
Amen.
Because if I truly trust in God, then that means I'm willing to wait on God.
Amen.
Our problems are not always going to be solved just like that.
Amen.
Sometimes the problems are going to go on a little longer than what we want them to.
Amen.
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 So that means then that we've got to be willing to wait. Well, how do we do that? We do that by trusting in God and not leaning to our own understanding.
Amen.
Because like I said before, God is able to take bad things and make them come out for our good.
Amen.
But our normal teaching tells us the other way is the way it works. Our friends and our family members sometimes tell us the other way is the way it is supposed to work. But our faith in God tells us, no, God is working out everything for my good. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But God is working for my good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, with God, we know if we believe in him, all things are possible. And we also know that the fix will not always happen, as I said, as quickly as we want it to. But the key is this: I'm willing to go through and not complain.
Amen.
My. And when I go through without complaining, what I'm saying is, God, I choose joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Finally, we grab hold to this particular assurance that is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. It says this: there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And it says, God is faithful.
Amen.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it. Glory to God. God has a window waiting for you. He's got a way out for you. God, Lord, I thank you. Because in all things, God, My God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I say to you today, just like you do when you text somebody, just like you do when you're on Facebook, I say to you, put a smiley face on. Hallelujah. Put that smiley face on and tell them that I choose joy.
My.
I'm going to say this and I'm done. Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 13 says this. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Yeah. But the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Yeah. My God, they tell you this. Don't ever let them see you sweat.
Right.
Well, what I'm going to tell you is this. Don't ever tell people or allow people to see what's really going on the inside of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because see, if you put a smiley face on, they'll never know how much you're going through right now. Glory to God. Because what you're basically saying is, I choose joy and I choose to see God. On the outside, the world might be dim. But on the inside, there's the light of hope. And it's in Jesus, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. On the outside, you're going to look under my tree and you don't see no gifts under my tree. But I tell you this, on the inside, I got the greatest gift of all in that place.
God.
Thank you, Jesus. I choose joy.